Welcome back to the Saturday Splash here on 94.5 WGTK, The Answer.
And here we are. We're with Zach and Chuck from Greater Greenville Sanitation, and we're talking worms.
Oh, we're talking worms. We're talking waste. They're a few years older than teenagers, but you know, they do deal with wastelands.
That's true.
I.e. the landfill.
Yeah, and teenagers. So
and
it's
teenagers.
Kind of appropriate, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Thank goodness you cannot see us on the ring.
I said just shy of teenagehood. Come on. You know, on the grand scale of things, we're all closer to teenagers than not.
Mm, well, that is a way to look at it.
Okay.
Let's talk about worms. I'm a big fan of worms. I started vermicomposting, which is worm composting, about a year and a half ago, and it's a very easy process. If anybody's interested in composting at home, and maybe a compost bin is too much for you, I would definitely recommend a worm bin. If you save up your food scraps, you feed them, once a week, once every couple of weeks, depending how much you put in there. You let them sit in your closet, you forget about them, and they're super hardy. If you forget about them for a month, like I do sometimes, you open the lid back up, and there they are. They're fighters. They're good. So Greater Greenville Sanitation is promoting vermicomposting with their new project called The Worm. Let's talk about that.
So WORM is an acronym for Waste Labs Organics Recovery Module. And it is also a truck and trailer exhibit, mobile exhibit that we take to schools. And this one here, we wanted to focus more on food waste diversion, since how food waste is a huge, huge part of the waste stream in America. 40-ish%, I think, is the statistic.
Yeah. It's been reported approximately a third of all food that's grown in this country goes to waste. So we grow it and we throw it away without eating it.
Yep.
That's a lot of resources to be throwing away.
Very much so. And especially because we service schools, you have your breakfast and your lunch that is given to these students by the schools. And we've done some waste audits where we go and we pick up a dumpster from a school and we dump all the bags out and all the contents of those bags out on the floor. And we put on our hazmat suits and we pick through it and we sort it up to 1,000 pounds of just garbage from these schools. And then we go and we individually weigh the categories. So this is your food waste and your landfill, your recyclables. We even try to get a count of their styrofoam. And from that data, we're able to come back to the schools with opportunities for them to be even more sustainable with how they divert their waste. And so food waste is a big deal because the audits that we've done so far, you know, a lot of the weight is liquid weight from milk and juice and water and the weight from the food itself. And so if we can pull that out of that stream and get them into something more sustainable, like on-site composting or scaled large enough, a service provider that potentially could help them with that, it'd make a big impact for sure.
Yeah. So what are some of the benefits of composting?
Quite a few. Composting in general, it keeps your food waste out of the landfill. Food waste is responsible for a lot of methane production, methane being 21 times more toxic or influential on climate change than carbon dioxide. And so by keeping your food waste out of the landfill, you're actually helping to disperse that methane in a little bit, smaller amounts versus when you drive up a mountain of garbage and a lot of that's food waste, you can imagine that concentration of those released gases. So that's one big deal. The other one is topsoil erosion is actually a really huge issue around the world. A couple hundred years ago, we had 100-something+ feet of topsoil. And over the course of time, as agriculture and farming practices have evolved, that topsoil is eroded due to either monocropping or poor crop rotation, to the influence of pesticides and herbicides, things of that nature. And so in some places across the U.S. right now, there's less than 2 feet of that topsoil. And so the more you compost, the more you reintroduce the nutrients and minerals necessary for healthy plant growth right back into that soil. So those are two huge factors right there. To advocate composting.
Yeah, I'd say, that's kind of the biggest thing. Take the waste that, take what the earth grows and turn it back into the earth. It's a pretty easy concept. And composting is something I think it's really great. It's something that anybody can do, whether you're in a house, an apartment, whether you have acres and acres of land. It's something you can do very easily. And you can see your waste being returned right back to the earth. Whereas, you know, even if you recycle, it'll get turned into a new product, but won't be returned to its original resource form. And then the waste that sits in the landfill, of course, is there for a very long time until it breaks down, if it does so.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So when your students go through the worm, what are they learning? What are you guys teaching them?
Well, we start the process at kind of a 10,000 foot view. We like to set the stage and first of all, get a common understanding of what conservation is, because a lot of times students across the age groups aren't quite familiar with that. And then we bring the idea of conservation down into food waste and share with them that, you know, across the world, you know, over 1 billion tons of food is wasted globally. In America, it's 650 million tons of food is wasted. And in our state of South Carolina, the statistics for 2015 was that we had 650,000 tons of food waste, and we actually were only able to recycle or recapture 1% of that.
Wow.
And despite all of that food waste, in America, we've got 1 out of 6 people that face food insecurity. In South Carolina, our state alone, 1 out of 6 families faces food insecurity. And so there's a big issue there where we're wasting so much food, but we have so many people in need of just the basic fundamentals of having a healthy life.
Yeah.
And so we try to get that across to the kids as a huge first impact to them as this is a problem. And so from there, we start to dive down into the issue. What can they do about it? So grow your own food, buy ugly fruits and veggies.
I love ugly veggies.
Right? That's it. But it's an idea that, you know, when I speak to like third graders, I tell them, hey, fruits and veggies get a report card like you, you know, math and science and all that. And the perfectly round ones and the perfect colors and textures get that A. What do you think happens to the fruits and veggies that get a B, C, D, or E? And it's fun to watch these kids start to like turn those wheels and in their minds create those relationships between, well, it doesn't look great, but is it still nutritional?
Is it the same exact piece of food? Yes, it is. I purposely, yeah. I go to the grocery store and I buy the ugly foods because I don't, you know, I'll eat them. I'm fine with it. That's fine.
Exactly. And it's,
if I can be the one, you know, at least somebody will eat them.
Yep. And it kind of, you can see it on their face sometimes when it dawns on them, especially like the analogy of like, if I pluck an apple from a tree that looks perfect, and then right next to it on the same branch is an apple that doesn't look perfect, is it still safe to eat? Is it still have all the vitamins and nutrients in it? And once they start down that train of thought, you can tell that it starts to kind of broaden that perspective for them.
And what is perfect food? You know, what we see at the grocery store that has become the standard? Why is that perfect? You know? Yeah. So just get you thinking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Humans yeah. like symmetry.
Yeah. Yes, we do. We like it to be shiny, round, red.
And processed. Oh, yes.
Yes, of course. Of course.
I want 50 chemicals whose names I can't pronounce properly.
Of course. Well, yeah. So one good way, I don't know, I like to encourage all my friends when we're out grocery shopping or meal planning is, you know, buy what you need. Don't buy all your produce Sunday night and expect it to last through the whole week. That's how things go bad. Do meal planning. Go grocery shopping more often than not if you can. Yep. But just, yeah, cutting down on what you're going to throw away in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're going to be realistic about this. Not everybody is going to, especially if you live in an apartment or something, or they may not be able to put a composting container outside of there. They may not have the time to do that. So, you know, kind of what we touched on with Waste Lab is, and what we're touching on from the beginning is, you know, rethink. Do I need everything on my plate? You know, do I really need this huge portion of stuff? If you just take a look at the portions that even restaurants and things serve you, the portions now, if you compare portions now to what they used to be, they're tremendous. They're huge. We want, you know, who needs a 30-ounce soda? I mean, it's great. You can go get a refill, but do you really need that out of the gate? So, you know, to a certain degree, how much stuff are we just wasting where, you know, we don't necessarily, if we didn't waste it, you know, we're reducing that, you know, we're being more sustainable from that end just by taking that one step back and going, do I really need this? Am I really going to eat everything that is here?
Right. You wouldn't have to compost it if it wasn't waste in the first place. You know, yeah. I'm also a big fan of leftovers, so yep. I definitely encourage that in everybody.
Yep. Yeah. That's a point we actually point out as well. And so those set the stage. And then from there, we have some live plants that they get to interact with. So they get to actually see where some of their food comes from. Some plants that are commonly used in hygiene products, medicine, spices, and herbs. Plants with just interesting and unique qualities to them. Let them, you know, smell the plants and touch the textures of the leaves. And just understand that the salad that's on your plate this is actually where it started from.
There is a big disconnect as to where our food comes from. I mean, where's ketchup come from? Oh, it comes from Bilo. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Before that, what fruit did this come from?
It kind of reintroduces kids to, you know, what's in their outside world. You know, if you're too involved with that video game and you live in the computer universe, you don't get out and go, wait, where does this stuff come from? Well, this is where it comes from. And that lotion you're using on your hands, aloe, that's not a made up word. That actually comes from something that's real.
Yeah.
And for them to see it, you know, like Zach was talking about, it's about having that aha moment. Mm-hmm, and it's you can see the wheels turn and it start to click.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that's something I don't really think a lot about, but now I will be, is not just the fruits and vegetables that I eat, but the plants that are going to the products that I'm using. So thank you for opening my mind today. We are here on the Saturday Splash. We've got one more segment coming up after this, so stay tuned on 94.5 WGTK The Answer.